Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Dr. Niall Breen from Portmarnock GP Clinic is with me for this Monday afternoon's Ask the GP. The number, as always, if you have a question, it's 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number. Niall, good afternoon. How are you?
Good, Andrea. How are you?
Yeah, you look like you've been enjoying the sun and your... Yeah.
Not as much as I would like. Yeah, a little bit, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, well, once you get out of here, you can enjoy it then. This texter has a very cute shortness of breath and stars in their eyes. They say it's quite frightening. What could it be?
Well, a very acute shortness of breath with stars in their eyes could be kind of something serious, or it could be something kind of relatively more straightforward. Like, you'd need to know more about this person. It could be something like kind of a panic attack or something would be the classic thing that someone would say if they've seen stars in their eyes. But any acute shortness of breath, I think that's something that that person needs to get checked out, really.
That's a trip to the GP.
It probably would be, or depending on how bad it was. But yeah, like, shortness of breath is something that someone needs to kind of have a look at.
Okay. Bridget got in touch. She has osteoporosis and she's on Prolia injection twice a year.
Prolia, twice a year.
How often should I have a DEXA scan?
It depends on a number of factors. I suppose the short answer is probably about every between 2 and 5 years. Most people, it's around every 3 years. But it would depend on what caused the osteoporosis. Most of them, we don't really know what caused it. But if this person had a kind of other things going on, it may mean that they need it more regularly. But your average person, I would say about every 3 years or so.
Okay. Another listener, can we ask the GP, please, about hypothyroidism? I've been given Eltroxin for years with no improvement to symptoms. Saw a different GP. He says my L3 levels are not within the range and this is what's my problem. And he also says I have, is it Hashimoto's disease?
Hashimoto's.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm making an absolute mess of these. No, but anyway, they're now taking level 3 and level 4 naltrexone. Haven't seen any improvement after weeks of medication. Is this normal? I'm very disappointed that my own GP never detected this.
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
So Hashimoto's disease is what we'd call an autoimmune disease. Basically a disease where your body kind of targets the thyroid and either turns it on or turns it off. So if it turns it on, your thyroid goes very overactive. It turns it off, it goes quite underactive. And it sounds like this person has the latter, that their thyroid, because of Hashimoto's, has been underactive. Now, Hashimoto's is a difficult diagnosis. Okay, now in general practice, I would say we manage about 95 to 99% of underactive thyroids. We don't need to send them to a consultant. So if this person has an underactive thyroid and they're still kind of symptomatic with that, then I would be casting the net a little bit wider. Eltroxin is the mainstay of treatment. That's a synthetic thyroid hormone that we basically give to replace the deficient hormone. In relation to kind of not having Hashimoto's picked up, wouldn't be a diagnosis that I would make. It would be, or most GPs would make, it would generally be one that a consultant makes. So maybe that person might want to look back to the person who has diagnose them with this and maybe just make sure that that's a robust diagnosis for a start.
Okay, so really that diagnosis needs to come from the consultant rather than...
Yeah, I think, I would be more comfortable if it did in most cases. Yeah.
Okay. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number if you have a question for Dr. Niall Breen. This listener has a recurring UTI. They're wondering, is there anything they can do to prevent them? They have this problem for they have 2 or 3 a year. They do eat well and drink plenty of water.
Okay, I suppose a few factors would be important there. The first big one is this a man or is this a woman? We'll assume it's a woman because about 95% of bladder infections or UTIs we see are in women. So to prevent them, there are a few things that you can do. So making sure you're very well hydrated, drinking things like cranberry juice, the low sugar amount can help as well, okay, because we know that that helps to clear kind of infections when they arise. It's kind of not really spoken about that much, but sex can be a trigger for some people. So after intercourse, it's definitely worth making sure that they drink plenty fluid for some people. If it's recurrent, and I would say kind of 3 times a year is probably getting towards recurrent, I would make sure that they're giving a urine sample to their GP so that they can send it off to the laboratory, grow bugs. There might be a resistant bug there that's not kind of reacting to the usual antibiotics that we would prescribe. And when it comes to antibiotic prescribing for urinary tract infections, we've quite a strict protocol that we adhere to make sure that people don't get resistant bacteria in their bladder as best we can.
Okay. This listener says they have a 7-year-old boy who was born with his right foot turned in. He went for physio as a baby and the problem corrected itself. But when I was getting him measured for new shoes, the shop assistant hinted to me that his right foot is turning in again. It's quite noticeable now. Should I worry?
I wouldn't worry necessarily, but I probably would get it followed up. So if this child has a history of an abnormality of their foot that was corrected, I probably in the first instance would either bring them back to their own doctor or to a kind of a trusted pediatric or child physiotherapist who could appraise them and see, does it need another intervention? But I think if it was interesting that the person in the shoe shop kind of pointed it out to me, because we know parents are really on the ball and they notice every tiny thing about children like in this age group. So I think if the parent themselves hadn't noticed it, it probably means that it's much less likely to be something significant or sinister or whatnot. But I would get that looked at.
Okay. This listener, their son has quite bad anxiety around needles. Is there anything that he can be prescribed to reduce anxiety in advance of getting a needle? He's under 18, so reduced options so far.
Yeah, being under 18 does reduce the options quite significantly. I suppose depends when they say a needle, if it's maybe going for a blood test, I suppose it would depend on how essential that blood test is. Let's assume that they need this test done. You can get certain kind of sedatives and things like that, but in the under 18, you'd be extremely cautious about it.
I remember as a child, I had a couple of surgeries, but I remember getting, like, this is ridiculous now, I can't remember the name of it, but I know that I used to call, it used to be called the magic cream, but whatever way they would numb your skin or whatever, it worked.
Yeah, and it does work. It's called Emla cream. And
well, it did work.
Yeah, no, it does work. Yeah. And they use it in the pediatric or the children's hospital all the time. Now, if this person's issue is anxiety as opposed to pain, that might not be as good. Generally speaking, I suppose if we are doing bloods for a child like that, we'll send them to the hospital. And the phlebotomists there are absolutely brilliant at making it, like putting a child at ease and taking all the blood necessary. If we're doing it in practice for like a 16 or 17 year old, we'll usually make sure that we have enough time, that they're lying flat, that they're distracted, put on a bit of music or something like that. And in 99% of cases for those kind of slightly older teenagers, we'll manage it.
Yeah, I remember they used to have, obviously when they put in the two things for the drip and then whatever, and they used to call it the butterfly injection, but it was obviously just whatever link that connected the...
Yeah, well, there is a needle.
Very scientific, Andrea.
No, there is a needle called the butterfly needle.
Oh, well, there you go.
There is for taking blood. But things sounds like you had a cannula or a drip.
Yeah. This listener says plantar fasciitis, they get it twice a year. Can you advise them on the best runners to buy?
I couldn't say any particular brand, but I think something that is a really good kind of arch support definitely helps. I wouldn't turn my back on the insoles you can get, as well as the wedges and things like that in pharmacies. And you can get them online from kind of trusted suppliers, even cheaper again.
087 1400 106. Keep those questions coming in for Dr. Niall Breen. This listener has pain on the left-hand side of their abdomen and some discomfort with it as well. Now, they've had an x-ray and the doctor said it showed up nothing. It's gone on for about 3 to 4 months. I'm wondering what it could be. Would an ultrasound help?
An ultrasound might help. Now, there's actually fewer things on the left side of your abdomen that can cause problems than on your right side. Okay, so if somebody has a left-sided abdominal discomfort, I would probably, that's somebody that I would be, now again, depends on the age of this person. I usually would like
to say,
it'd be handy to get a set of bloods done there, and maybe if they're that little bit older, would consider going down the route if they had any bowel symptoms of a colonoscopy. But I certainly learned from the pandemic that some of the most difficult kind of consultations to do remotely or anything involving abdominal pain.
Okay.
So I would have a low threshold to get that checked.
Please ask the doctor about a back issue. I didn't do anything out of the ordinary, but got a very sharp pain and then it went like a cramp moving up my back. It's extremely painful. I've used Volitol and paracetamol, but I still am feeling it 2 weeks later. I'm really unable to bend much at the moment.
Okay, so it sounds like they've strained a muscle in their back. And this is the type of person, when we talk to them in our practice and we kind of drill into the history, we'll usually realize that they were moving stuff or they were gardening or they were doing something seasonal that they hadn't done for a while. We'd see it when people are putting away Christmas decorations, getting the lawnmower out, stuff like that. So it's probably a muscular issue, I would imagine, by the way they're describing it. It should settle with time. I think sometimes when people have something like this, they try and do everything they normally do and you can't do that. But then sometimes some people just sit and do nothing and you kind of seize up a bit. So somewhere in between. And if you get to kind of the 3-4 week mark and it's not resolving, probably is something that needs a look.
Needs to be looked at. This listener, female, 45, quite fit, loves long walks and the gym, but they have a little bit of perimenopausal midweight on HRT, recently upped their estrogen gel, having left arm dull pain at night and pain in my chest, but just above my left breast. Should I listen to Dr. Google?
Well, it depends what Dr. Google said, I suppose.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a constellation of symptoms. Again, we're always wary about any kind of chest pain, especially if it's going into like the left arm, I think as that texter has specifically said. Now, if it's only happening at nighttime, that could raise it that it's a little bit of reflux or something like that. But again, unfortunately, it's something that like any kind of chest pain going into the left side usually needs to someone to have a look at that.
Okay. This listener's glands are up under their armpit. They only felt them yesterday. What does it mean?
Okay. It probably means that they have an infection of some sort. Again, what's really important here is this a man or is this a woman? If this was a man, I'd be much more comfortable to say, well, give it a couple of weeks. See, does it settle down? Because we have kind of lymph glands all around your kind of face and neck, armpits, groin, place like that. And at times of infection, they tend to get a little bit swollen or a bit more noticeable. What I'd be wary of here, if this was a woman, and if a woman kind of calls our practice and says that she's found kind of what she feels are lymph glands in her axilla, we would usually invite them in to get a breast exam just to make sure that there's nothing going on there.
Okay, so it depends on the gender.
It does.
On how quick to react.
It does.
Interesting one. This listener got bit by a horsefly yesterday. They've bad swelling, pus, head and sore, their head is sore to touch as well. Do I need to see a doctor?
Potentially need an antibiotic for that, yeah. So we see a lot of these at this time of year. And what tends to happen is it can look quite angry initially.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is what we'd call a histamine reaction or just the skin actually responding to the fact that something bit it. So oftentimes taking an antihistamine will help. But if you're getting pus and redness and stuff that isn't settling over the first 48 hours, you probably would need an antibiotic for that.
And that's a trip to the GP to get that. Yeah. Well, there's a particular steroid antibiotic, isn't there? It begins with an F.
You can put a topical cream on it. You're right. Yeah. Which contains an antibiotic and a steroid called Fusibet.
That's the one.
And it's really good for stuff like that. But if there is a risk of a cellulitis, which is a kind of a ascending or worsening infection of the skin, you'd need an oral antibiotic.
For that. This listener has a 25-year-old daughter who out of the blue has started to get the swelling on either side of her face in her temples area. Went to A&E and they said it could be giant cell. What does that mean?
So giant cell, they probably mean giant cell arteritis, which is inflammation of an artery in your temple, which is actually quite a serious condition. It would be very rare in a 25-year-old. So if the person went to the emergency department, there is a blood test that you can do that doesn't definitively rule it out, but makes it very unlikely. So it'd be interesting to see what tests that they did. And it's usually on one side only, not both sides.
So what should they do? Go back to the...
Well, swelling, it's an area that people don't usually get swelling on as well. Yeah. So they probably need to know is there swelling in the rest of the face.
Oh, actually, hang on. They've come back with more information. She had an MRI carried out, nothing sinister. And the doctor in the clinic said she wasn't the profile for giant cell, but they've no other answers. It's happened a number of times. She's no pain, but does get a headache and a feeling of tightness in her head.
Okay. All right. I mean, is she having some kind of a reaction to something? You probably would need to really drill into the history there. You'd want to know, is there any kind of breathing symptoms, swelling around the neck, wheeze, things like that. It doesn't sound like anything overly sinister, and it sounds like they've done all the sensible investigations and outruled kind of the major stuff. But it's probably something, if it wasn't going away, again, you probably would need to have that followed up.
Further follow up there. Yeah. Texter's wondering about dealing with tinnitus. They've had scans and consultations.
Yeah, unfortunately, tinnitus is a really challenging condition to treat. And I think there's a website, tinnitus.org or something like that. And it has really good advice on distraction techniques. For us, once the sort of scary things associated with tinnitus have been ruled out, there's very little. There's no medication I can prescribe or a particular therapy that I can advise people to get.
It sounds like just frustrating for people now.
It is. It's a really bad condition for some
ringing
people.
In the rear.
The mainstay of treatment for those who don't have something underlying obvious is called distraction techniques, which kind of tells its own story. So it's a tough condition.
Yeah.
My heart goes out to people with that.
A listener has RA nodules on their lungs. They sweat a lot at night in their 60s, wondering could they have a lung infection?
RA, so I presume they have rheumatoid arthritis, and sometimes in some people that can manifest in their lungs. So if they've been diagnosed with that, they should be getting fairly good consultant follow-up, and it probably would predispose somebody to getting infections a bit more commonly than the average person.
Okay. And Mary is in her 50s, recently developed eczema on both her arms, wondering what's the best thing to do to get relief from the itch, because it started. She started using, is it Caldese today? A nappy rash ointment.
Wondering,
is it okay to use it at night? She's also tried Vaseline, Sudocreme, hydrocortisone as well, Aveeno moisturisers, not healing it. I have taken antihistamines and vitamin D on a daily basis.
All right, good. She's used a lot. I definitely wouldn't. I would focus on moisturiser, definitely. If it is eczema, you want to get it, just keep that skin as moist as possible. We tend to focus on steroids and things like that, but definitely keeping it as moist. So I'd focus on the moisturiser, put it on, wait half an hour, and then apply a bit of steroid, and the steroid can go down through the skin's layers and it can heal it a little bit faster. Vaseline's a barrier, so I wouldn't use that. Pseudocream can be helpful, but it isn't in a lot of people. And Caldicine, I don't think I would use either.
So just invest in a really good pure moisturiser.
I think I would, yeah. Something fairly kind of that doesn't have much added to it. Even something simple like Silcox Base that you can get over the counter fairly easily.
Okay. All right. Dr. Niall Breen from the Portmarnock GP Clinic. Niall, thanks a million.
Thank you.
For joining us here on Lunchtime Live today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.